Calling all outdoor enthusiasts. Springtime is here. Time to get outside.
It doesn't matter whether you ride, hike, bike, jeep, climb, or just four-wheel the forest trails with your family in a side-by-side. The Wilderness Rider, Buffalo Ranch, and Adventure Park has it all.
Don't spend your next vacation staying in a tightly clustered tent neighborhood where campsites are in a neat little row barely 20 feet apart.
If you've had enough of being surrounded by strangers at campgrounds that are overcrowded, overwhelmed, and overregulated with countless rules and stipulations, come to the Wilderness Rider Ranch and experience the many natural wonders and enchanting solitude of a pristine Ozark hardwood forest.
Camp beside serene waterfalls and listen to nature's features instead of babies that bawl and other offensive human creatures. Make your plans now to visit the Wilderness Rider Ranch, where you can spend hassle-free days in the forest, blissfully riding or hiking the many miles of scenic cliff ledges and boulder-laced stream beds.
To plan your next vacation, go to wildernessrider.com or call 530-377-6678. That's 530-377-6678.
No matter what you ride or drive, it's all about taking it outside.
So get on your bed, motor scooter, and ride.
This is Outdoors with Wheels with Lynn and Donnie.
So get on your bed, motor scooter, and ride.
For best results, mix thoroughly with dirt, add adrenaline, then shake really well. And now, Outdoors with Wheels. Here's Lynn and Donnie.
Well, good morning. Through the magic of modern technology, we're bringing you the Outdoors with Wheels radio show, even though Donnie's out tearing up the trails in northern Arkansas as we speak.
That's right. I am enjoying day three of the Arkansas 500 about now with Scotty Smith and the Turpentine Creek Wildlife Refuge Gang.
Well, the Arkansas 500 is a really exciting ride. It does indeed go about 500 miles. It's almost all on dirt, and it doesn't necessarily make a loop every day like a lot of rallies do. This is a ride where you stay in a different location every night.
That's right. We will have camped in a couple of different locations, and we will be crossing many swollen creeks this year because they've had lots of rain in the Ozarks quite recently.
Well, we may have an interesting story or two then next week about bikes that maybe got a little too deep in the water.
Yeah, stand by for more tales of swimming motorcycles.
And what you should do before you restart that motorcycle that's decided to take a high dive into the creek.
Well, stand by for plenty of tales from the Ozarks about creek crossings and bike resurrections and all kind of fun stuff.
Well, don't forget about the caroling lions and tigers that are going to be quite active as you're camping on Thursday night.
Yes, indeed. You can bet we'll be enjoying the serenade of lions. Well, you don't have to go as far as the Ozarks to get in some great riding. This has been a fantastic week in the Houston area for getting some riding in, too. I hope everybody has managed to get out and do something, because next week is probably not going to be quite so nice. So you need to get on out there today if you haven't already.
Well, the sun has been shining, yet the high temperatures are only about 80, so it is ideal motorcycling time in the Houston, Texas area.
Yeah, I dare say some of the last really nice, pleasant, cool weather we may see.
We preach this almost every week. If you're looking for somebody to ride with, head to Two Wheeled Texans online. There are threads on that forum, and there's almost always someone riding somewhere.
And the Old Dudes on Dirt Bikes also have quite a lot of activity going on here right in the Houston area.
Well, that's on meetup.com. Old Dudes on Dirt Bikes and the Houston Jeep people are very active on that forum. There is no excuse to hang out by the television today. Head outside.
Well, what a magical time it is to be heading outside, too. There's just a cornucopia of different events to choose from. We still have a couple of different rides coming up in the Ozarks. We still have the MotoGP going on down in Austin. And there's endless other races and events going on all through April. Well, the fun doesn't stop in April. It just keeps right on rolling right through May. There is still a ton of events going on, one of which is the Slap Ride up here in the Ozarks, and I sure intend to make it this year. I have said I was going to make that ride so many years, and for various reasons, just haven't done it yet. And this year, I'm going to be on the banks of the Mulberry River hanging out with them and riding.
The Slap Ride has new organizers this year, but they're adhering to the amazing tradition that the Slap has always represented. And we're going to hear a little bit more about that from Bob Whitby really soon. Now, whatever you do, don't forget about Chase the Bunny. That is just a week away. So if you aren't packed yet, hurry up and pack. It's about a 9-hour drive from the Houston area to get up to the Wilderness Rider Ranch, and it's not too late to register. Just go to wildernessrider.com.
Well, I think it's about 9 hours from Humble. I'm not sure it's 9 hours from, say, somewhere south in Houston. You might need a Hellcat for that.
Will a Hellcat pull a motorcycle trailer?
As long as it's got high-speed bearings.
Well, be sure to load up your dirt bike, your ATV, your mountain bike, or just come and hike. We'll see you over Easter weekend at the Wilderness Rider Ranch.
Yeah, come on up and get you one last good taste of spring. We're going to have some nice, real spring-like weather, and it should be just right for riding. Last week when I was in Arkansas, I ran into Bob Whitby. Bob does another ride called the Slap Ride.
Well, the Slap Ride is coming up real soon. We've mentioned it a couple of times on the show, but it sure was nice to hear right from the organizer's mouth what that ride is going to be like this year.
Anyone who frequents the forum ADV Rider knows the Slap Ride. It's been on their radar screen for a number of years now, and somehow I have not made it there yet, even though it's in my own backyard. We are up here in Northwest Arkansas and fixing to visit with Bob Whitby, who is organizing the Slap Ride for 2017. Now, Slap Ride is a ride that runs through some of the most remote part of the Arkansas Ozarks you can find. It's off in the real woolly boonies. Tell us what Slap Ride stands for.
Well, thanks, Donnie. I'm glad you guys were able to come up here. SLAP stands for Squeal Like a Pig.
Now, that is a great Arkansas ride name.
Well, and I've ridden through some of the areas around here, and you would squeal like a pig.
Squeal like a pig seems to work for us. We raise a lot of hogs here in Arkansas.
Well, we're actually sitting on the University of Arkansas campus right now, and the mascot is a Razorback.
The Razorbacks.
And, of course, there's the pig trail that is so popular. I would imagine everybody nationwide has at least dreamed of riding the pig trail up through the Twisties, through the Arkansas Ozarks.
Yeah, it's pretty well known. So tell us a little bit about the history of the Slap Ride. How long has it been going on? What can you tell us about it?
This is our 13th year. It's actually the first year that a group of us from Northwest Arkansas are putting it on. For the last 4 years, it was in the hands of a group from Oklahoma. We call them the Okies. And they did a fine job, but they're from Oklahoma. We needed to bring it home and bring it home to Northwest Arkansas. So my recollection of it, it started in Missouri. For a time, it went up to White Rock Mountain, the actual lookout area there. If you're familiar with that, there's a kind of a campground up at the top of White Rock Mountain. And it was there for 4 or 5 years, and when the Okies took it over, they moved it down to Bird's Adventure Center because it's getting hard. Well, it is hard to get RVs up to the top of White Rock Mountain. It's a dirt road, and there's a couple switchbacks, and can get kind of nasty for larger vehicles. So it's been in Bird's for 4 years now. This will be the fifth.
And what kind of attendance are you guys seeing in recent years at the Slap Rides?
Last year was a big year because it was a year dedicated to one of the organizers who had unfortunately passed away in a motorcycle accident. He was one of the people in Tulsa who had been instrumental in putting this together. His name was Ralph Watkins. He went by the handle of Jump Jet on ADV, if any of your listeners know about ADV. But last year was in his honor. So we had a very, very large turnout of almost 200 riders. And this year, you know, if we can get to that level, that'd be great. If we get to 100, that's fine too. We're not about the numbers. We're about having a good time.
Now, is the ride for riders of all levels, or is it primarily advanced riders on the Slap Ride? I know it's renowned. Donnie's been wanting to do it for years.
It is for everyone. We have street riders. We have dirt riders. We have people who trailer dirt bikes here without plates and will come and just ride the single track. Birds has about, I don't want to say 8 or 10 miles of single track. There's single track in the forest. So yeah, there's literally something for everyone. I just talked to a guy who's going to ride from Chicago on his GS and come down here and just ride street and maybe some fire roads, but you know, he's not going to ride single track on his GS, but he wanted to come down for the experience. And so people find whatever kind of riding they want. And that's the beautiful thing about this area is, as you and Donnie know, as residents of this area, it's just an incredible diversity of trails and riding.
Certainly every riding surface is absolutely beautiful around here, whether you're on the pavement riding the Twisties. There are dirt roads that will entice you even on your street bike because they're so beautiful you're going to want to veer off. And I wouldn't be surprised if the guy on the GS doesn't venture into some single track just because he could if he wants to bad enough.
He might get in a little trouble if he does.
Well, the Ozarks will sort out the riders from the non-riders if you get off the beaten path very far.
Now, Bird is going to have, I would assume, camping facilities. Are there cabins? Of course, you can pull your RV in. Can you tell us a little bit more about what arrangements there are?
Sure. Bird's, it's called Bird's Adventure Center in there. They're on the banks of the Mulberry, and it's absolutely beautiful there. I love going there. I go there several times a year, and it's got great camping. It's got tent camping with electricity. It's got RV spots up on top, and we end up in kind of the down the river area, or I guess I should say the lower area, which is by the river, in a group, because most people will either be camping in a tent or they'll bring a van that they sleep in. So the lower area is kind of where the action is. But Bird's is enormous. You can't fill it up. It's got so much space that I think that they could handle, 100 people, 1,000 people. It would depend on how much you needed, because they have an airfield, they have a restaurant. It's enormous. We chose that because it's easily accessible and it's right there with all the trails. Really nice area.
It sounds beautiful.
Now, unlike a lot of rides, you guys do not have a structured set course that you would go out on. It is pretty much up to the individuals to pair up with like-minded riders and take any direction they choose, right?
Yeah, that's correct. Unfortunately, the world we live in is can be a little lawsuit happy. So the way you'll find a lot of these rides structured is that they're very informal. Instead of someone from our organization being designated to go out and lead a ride, which can lead to problems, what we'll do is simply put a sign-up sheet up and say, Mr. Jones is going out at 9:30 to ride some single track on small bikes, and then we'll have a sign-up sheet. And if you're interested, you go along with them. If you'd rather ride some dual sport, some fire roads, some ATV trails, there'll be somebody who is doing that kind of ride too. You'll find people doing all kinds of rides. We try to facilitate that. But again, there's not going to be a leader. There's not going to be someone who says, I'm from the SLAP organization, follow me, because that's... Unfortunately, it can lead to problems. So we're kind of informal. We're about having a good time. We will be happy to show anybody anything, any place. We're going to have maps on site. If you need some guidance as to where to ride or what to ride, we'll be happy to show you, because a lot of us know the trails. I've lived in this area for about 5 years, and I don't consider myself an expert, but there will be people there who know every single inch of this back area, and they'll be happy to show you around.
Now, one of the keys to enjoying yourself at a ride like this is being honest about your riding capability, isn't it? There's guys that are going to go out there, they're going to advertise this is going to be a fast-paced group, and if you are one of these folks who wishes you were a fast rider, but you're really not, you're going to get yourself in problems if you sign up with the fast group. They're going to entice you into going quicker down these gravel roads than maybe your skills are up to. So one of the big keys in these group rides is be honest with yourself about what you really can do.
Yeah, that's a really good point. Everybody's always kind of overselling it, I guess. And I tend to be the opposite way. If a group says they're fast, I'll say, okay, I'm going to go with the medium speed guys, because I don't want to be the guy holding them up. But you do find that. And it's really important to kind of know your skill level. The credo that everyone I've ever ridden with in Arkansas, the credo, no one left behind. If you have a problem, someone's going to help you. So you are going to find that if you crash, if you have a problem with your bike, someone's going to help you. But you don't want to be that guy slowing everyone down. You want to be realistic about your skill levels, prepare your bike, and, just go and have fun. It's not a race.
That's why I ride with the Urals with sidecars.
Because then you can be the fastest.
Well, I can at least keep up anyway. Well, one of the other beautiful things to do in this area is to get lost, so to speak. Thank goodness for GPS, and most roads eventually get to someplace you know, but it would be a blast to come to this lap ride and just take off, especially when you're riding with other people. You have the security of, again, not being left behind, but there is always a detour to find in this area.
Yeah, you won't run out of roads to ride here, that's for sure. There's just so many roads here. I will find that I'll go out on a dirt road, and then I'll pass a turnoff, and I'll make a mental note of it and say, I'm going to check that out next time, and I'll check that out, and it'll lead to 3 other turnoffs, and eventually, 25 miles later, I'll come out in the road and go, oh, okay, I finally know where I am again.
As long as you come out somewhere near an ice cream parlor, right?
That's true, yeah. And gas, you want to think about gas too. There's not a lot of gas around where SLAP is. So we're going to have some information about where to find gas, where to find food. But if you can, bring some extra gas. Gas is not always available.
Yeah, it's a good idea to put an extra gallon in a Rotopax on a ride like this.
Yeah, that's true. Here in the Ozarks, number one, if there's an issue with a gas pump, there may only be one gas pump in that town. So where any other day you'd be fine when you roll through, you just might get told, sorry, not today. And the other thing to remember is gas stations don't stay open very late around here. If you're after 5 p.m., you're in big time question mark. If you're after 7, you're out of luck.
And bring cash. A lot of places don't take credit cards.
Yeah, I found that out the hard way. I got to push a bike at 2 a.m. for about 7 miles one night because no place in all of Jasper had gas pumps that were credit card pumps. And of course, they were all closed. So I got to push my bike all the way to Ponca so I could find a credit card gas pump at 2:30 in the morning.
To find one at 2:30 in the morning.
As it were, that is the only credit card gas pump in Newton County.
Is that right? Wow. That's good knowledge. See, I wouldn't have known that.
So it's one thing to have fun riding all these different roads, exploring Arkansas. What made you want to organize a ride like this? That is a lot of work.
It is a lot of work. And when I first moved here, I moved here from out of state, and I didn't know a lot of people. And I came to SLAP the first time in 2013, and I immediately made a lot of friends. And I thought, this is the greatest thing I've ever been to. Because there was such a great atmosphere and camaraderie, and everyone liked to ride and dual sport rides. And it was just a lot of fun. I've been every year since. And then it came to a point where the people who were organizing it wanted to turn it over. And I thought, someone has to keep this tradition going. And I do not want to see this die. And not that it was going to die, but it would be an honor to take it over and continue it and build it if we can. So that's kind of why I decided to do it. Same with my friends. I have a group of friends here in Northwest Arkansas who are helping me. I certainly don't want to take credit as being the only one who's doing anything. We hang out on the ADV Rider Northwest Arkansas BS thread, harass each other, and we're kind of taking care of this. And we feel like it's an honor, you know, we're passing it along. It's kind of like an old house. You take it and you take care of it, and then you pass it on to somebody else. It's a great thing. And there aren't enough things like this in the world. So we just wanted to make sure it keeps going.
Well, kudos to you guys for grabbing the reins and doing that, because it would be a tragedy to see this ride disappear.
ADV Rider, you all have heard us talk about this before. It is an online forum for adventure motorcyclists. And the Arkansas Forum, I noticed this year, or at least one of the Arkansas forums, was being very conscientious about scheduling all of these rides. There's a series of 4 or 5 rides, including the one at Wilderness Rider Ranch. And then, of course, there's Scotty's Arkansas 500. There's the Hillbilly Ride. And I thought it was great how all of these rides coordinated this year to make sure there were not conflicting weekends, because if you're a devoted Arkansas rider, you don't want to miss any of these rides.
Yeah, you're going to be super busy. I think the AR 500 is this weekend. The Hillbilly Dual Sports coming up. SLAP, just crazy. And that's a good thing. I mean, you want that. Why wouldn't you want all those opportunities to go ride? If we all kind of coordinate, then we don't have a scheduling issue.
Well, you mentioned moving to a new area, and we talk a lot about this on the show, too. If you're not a motorcyclist, you will be so amazed at the motorcycling community. And whether you're riding dirt, whether you're introducing your child to a four-wheeler or some sort of an ATV, no matter what you do when you get out into these various communities, the support group and the friends that you meet, everyone's an immediate friend. You can stop at a gas station and meet 5 people that you'll stay in touch with for years to come. It's really just an outstanding community to belong to.
That's so true. I've met all of my friends. Well, I can't say all of them, but most of my friends who I've made here in Northwest Arkansas, I've made through riding dirt bikes and, well, dual sports dirt bikes, adventure bikes. You meet interesting people. Sometimes it can be hard to meet people when you move to a new area, but when you ride a dirt bike, it's like, you suddenly know them and you have something in common. And yeah, it's an amazing thing.
You're never a stranger on a motorcycle.
Great outdoors, a set of wheels, and you, the 3, are destined to dance. Outdoors with Wheels continues on KPRC 950.
Turpentine Creek Wildlife Refuge is a sanctuary in the Ozarks for abused and mistreated lions, tigers, and bears. Located just 7 miles south of Eureka Springs on Highway 23, it's a great way to spend the day and help support the refuge. You can also spend the night in one of the cozy Zulu Safari Lodges or bring your RV and camp under the stars. Go to TurpentineCreek.org for more info. Turpentine Creek Wildlife Refuge is a slice of Africa and the Ozarks.
Turpentine Creek Wildlife Refuge, where big cats call home.
Calling all outdoor enthusiasts. Springtime is here. Time to get outside.
It doesn't matter whether you ride, hike, bike, jeep, climb, or just four-wheel the forest trails with your family in a side-by-side. The Wilderness Rider, Buffalo Ranch, and Adventure Park has it all.
Don't spend your next vacation staying in a tightly clustered tent neighborhood where campsites are in a neat little row barely 20 feet apart.
If you've had enough of being surrounded by strangers at campgrounds that are overcrowded, overwhelmed, and overregulated with countless rules and stipulations, come to the Wilderness Rider Ranch and experience the many natural wonders and enchanting solitude of a pristine Ozark hardwood forest.
Camp beside serene waterfalls and listen to nature's features instead of babies that bawl and other offensive human creatures. Make your plans now to visit the Wilderness Rider Ranch, where you can spend hassle-free days in the forest, blissfully riding or hiking the many miles of scenic cliff ledges and boulder-laced stream beds.
To plan your next vacation, go to wildernessrider.com or call 530-377-6678. That's 530-377-6678.
Finding out what's wrong with your vehicle is simple and convenient at Beckwith's Car Care. Their ASC-certified technicians and professionally trained advisors will help you understand your vehicle and keep it safe and dependable. For everything from oil changes to a new engine, from tire rotations to a check engine light, visit Beckwith's Car Care. Call 281-446-4000. They're on FM 1960, just east of Highway 59. 281-446-4000. Proud sponsor and co-host of the Auto Mojo Show on AM 950 KPRC.
We are screaming through the valley where the Nishnabotna flows, through the mud and crud and cornfields where the marijuana grows, across the railroad tracks of Persia, down the hills and up the dale. At CJ5 with a four-wheel drive, Smokey on my tail.
Two wheels or four, it doesn't matter. It's all about enjoying the outdoors. Get your tires dirty with Lynn and Donnie as Outdoors with Wheels continues on KPRC 950.
Well, I'm down in South Texas today in Floresville, Texas, out at Cycle Ranch, which if you're an old motocrosser, you'll recognize that name well. They've had a bunch of great events out here. But for the last 15, 18 months, it's been quiet. And I got rumor that they're fixing to put the place back on the map. Doors are open again. So I had to come down here and check it out. I'm visiting with Roel.
Hi.
Hi, Roel.
Nice to meet you.
So you have taken over trying to get this place back in shape.
Yeah, that's the whole thing we're trying to do here is like get everything back to the regular base where it used to be. Open to the public. Yeah, all tracks available.
Excellent. Well, that's a tall order.
Yeah.
There's a lot of work to be done here.
Yeah, it's been let down for quite a while. So it's going to be a lot of work, but in the end effect, it's going to be worth it. We have now the Thursday evenings, 6 p.m. till 10 p.m. already on the night track, and I'm now working at the main track to get everything ready again for the weekends.
Just how much work is involved in getting a track like this prepped on the main track?
Well, if we do an open ride day like we did last year, we start the week before. It's going to be like $2,000 on diesel fuel, what it will cost to get everything ready. Yeah, that whole weekend I will not sleep because when everybody gets off the track, a couple of guys that helped me out here, we jump on the water truck, we water the all night, and we have to prep it again for Sunday morning. So that's from Friday morning till Sunday evening, nonstop, just work. And yeah, but it's worth it. If you see all the people coming off the track with a smile, that's all that matters.
I bet people will be surprised to know it's actually $2,000 of diesel in the heavy equipment. I would have never dreamed it myself that it took that much effort.
Yeah, it's a lot because we have the natural elevation. So the moment the rain hits us, everything gets washed out, lands in the catch ponds, and we have to wait for it to be dry enough to get it out of there. And like at the moment, I'm putting 3 foot of dirt all over the track. The whole track needs at least 3 foot of dirt. So that's going to take me at least 2 weeks now to get even the dirt back, then shape the track again.
You guys are fortunate. You have some of the best dirt in Texas. You got that beautiful red loam that everybody wishes they had.
Yeah, that's true. Everybody loves it. And the nicest thing is in the morning when the track is fresh prepped and the first guys go out and they come back and give you a heads up and like, dude, this is awesome. So that's perfect.
ear-to-ear smiles, yeah. No doubt.
Yeah, and that's what we're doing it for. I mean, nobody will ever get rich from a dirt bike track, but it's a lot of fun. It is.
Well, it's awesome that you guys are putting this place back on the map, because it was one of the premier tracks in Texas and has seen many great events, and it was really sad to see weeds growing on the main track last year.
Yeah, I got them almost off. We did a couple of volunteer weekends that people come out here and help me mow, and in the afternoon we do a little bit of riding. Just fun weekends. The last volunteer weekend we had over 40 people here. Yeah, people appreciate the park.
They do. You have a lot of fans for this place.
Yeah, and that's what it's all about. I mean, everybody loves to ride, and we're all here for the same reason. So if everybody helps out, it's going to be so much easier to maintain a park like this.
Yeah, you've just about got to have a good volunteer base to make it all work, really.
Yeah, and I got a couple of kids I'm training here during the week, and the parents of the kids, they really help me out a lot. And the owner, Ian, I'm thankful for him to give me the chance to try it and see if it works again. That's a huge thank you to him, that's for sure.
Now, you guys are actively involved in getting more youth out here on the track too, aren't you?
Yeah, that's the whole thing I want to do. I want to have like a couple of bikes stationary here and invite schools over with their parents, the kids, and introduce them to the sport. So we need more kids in this sport to keep it alive.
Yes, we certainly do. And from my perspective, you know, as a guy almost 60, when I was young and growing up, you could pretty much find dirt bikes in every neighborhood because you could ride them on pretty much any bare piece of dirt that there was.
Yeah.
And consequently, everybody had dirt bikes. Everybody was familiar with dirt bikes. Everybody rode. Now it's a different world. You only can ride them in specific areas designated for such. And if your parents don't haul you there, you probably won't get exposed to it at all.
I know, and that's one of the hardest things. I mean, first of all, it costs a lot of money. I mean, the bikes are expensive. The parents have to travel a lot. There's not much tracks. There's always like an hour drive wherever you go.
Right.
But I like it that, like, we have here in South Texas a lot of tracks. The good tracks, like if you have Tree Palms, Red Rock, those are beautiful parks. Freedom MX, beautiful park. I mean, he's doing really a good job. I think the tracks all should work together instead of working against each other and just figure out a system that everybody has their own weekends, and that makes it easier for everybody. The riders will have more tracks to ride on.
Yeah, and as a rider and a racer, I can tell you, I hate it when there's two or three different race events on the same weekend. You sit on your thumbs for 3 weeks, and then you have to decide which event you're going to actually participate in. It would be great if there was more coordination so that you could participate in more events through the year.
Yeah, and I think all the tracks will have a profit of it. I mean, if you take all the tracks here in South Texas and just throw those calendars together, just sit somewhere together with all the track managers and just figure it out that everybody has the same riders at their property, and that's what everybody wants. Everybody wants the same revenue.
Sure. From the riders and the track owner's standpoint, you want to make it so that everybody can attend.
Yeah, everybody can attend, and I would love to get involved in a big race series here, and then not like a South Texas, but like a Texas championship, with the people from Dallas area and the other areas in Texas, so that you could actually have a real state championship.
Well, it'd be good to see the Thanksgiving meetup resurrected here.
Yeah, Ian and I talked about it last night. It's funny that you mention it now, because we want to have that Thanksgiving race back again.
Yeah, my son raced the whole time he was growing up, and we attended several of those, and they were real fun get-togethers.
Yeah, and Ian and I are figuring it out how we can get it back to get our Thanksgiving event, because everybody knows about it, everybody talks about it, and most people that ride here during the, they ask me about it. Is that race coming back? There's a lot of work involved, and I want to do it right. I just want to have that main track ready, completely ready to go.
Yeah, it was such a grand track in its day. I'm sure there'll be disappointment if it's not resurrected to its former glory.
Yeah, and that's what I'm trying to do. My goal is to have an outdoor national here. I mean, that's the ultimate thing I want to do here. I want to have an outdoor national, and I will do whatever it takes to get it.
Well, I wish you luck. We need some more nationals here in the state.
I know from the past that it wasn't possible here because we didn't have enough parking space. Ian, the owner, has a almost 80-acre property he bought next door. So the parking space is not a problem. And I'm in contact with Davey Coombs from the Outdoor Nationals and Tim Cutter from the AMA to see if we can make it work.
Well, let's hope you get something going.
Yeah. It's going to cost a lot of money, but it's going to be, yeah, that's just a dream come true.
Yeah, that'd be good for this track and good for the sport as well here in Texas.
Everybody loves to see an outdoor national close to home. Yeah, and it would put Cycle Ranch on the map, that's for sure.
That would definitely serve notice you're back in business.
Yeah, everybody will notice it at that point, but I hope they notice it now. There's a lot of work involved, and most of the time I'm doing everything by myself. I got a lot of volunteers that helped me out, but yeah, the people have, they have a job, so during the week, it's all up to me.
Pretty much, huh? Well, if any of you retired guys are out there that still like to race, you might want to come give Raul a hand here during the week.
Yeah, just go on the Cycle Ranch Facebook site, posting updates almost daily about what I'm doing. Now the night track, we have a practice tomorrow. We got a ton of rain last night, so it's going to be a late night for me to get everything ready for tomorrow. But yeah, it's worth it. That night track, it's called the Field of Dreams. And in the evening when you throw those lights on, it really looks like it. It's fun.
Yeah, it's a beautiful track. It sure is.
Brings a certain kind of atmosphere in the evenings. And yeah, I really like that.
Well, we're excited that you're bringing the place back. And I look forward to attending the first race here.
Yeah, we've been figuring out a lot of stuff. I'm talking to the owner of Tree Palms, Emil. Mm-hmm. See if we can get a District 20 race here. I want to do my own little night series. In the summer, it's hot in Texas, so we have the facility, we can race at night. So I've been seeing what I can do there, like a four-round race series and doing my own little thing. Mm-hmm. And I talked to Larry Hughes also from Main Event Series, and he sent me his dates. So, you know, that we work together, that I'm not planning anything on his dates and he doesn't plan on my dates.
Good deal.
Yeah, that's what it's all about. If everybody works together, nobody wants to go to California anymore to ride a dirt bike. They want to come to Texas.
Well, I like riding them everywhere.
Yeah, me too. And I spend a lot of time in California, but
but I'm excited. You know, Texas has dirt that even the Californians envy. And it is great to see this track coming back.
Yeah, I got a lot of friends in Colorado and Arizona and California, and most of them know about this track. Mm-hmm. That was what really surprised me, that they all know the red dirt from Cycle Ranch. I got a couple of people that helped me out really good,
yeah,
but not really sponsorships yet. And that's why I said I want to have that track completely ready. And then I'm going to approach people from, listen, we're going to do this and this. I want to have a calendar set up.
Yeah.
That I can show something to the people where they invest their money in.
Right.
I'm trying to get some stuff here in stock for, like, if people have a flat tire, put some tire changes outside that everybody can use, just, like, you know, to help them through the day.
That'd
not the
great
expensive stuff.
Yeah.
Just to, if they're here, they don't have to drive off the property and go to a shop.
Are you familiar with the Two-Wheel Texan Rider Forum?
No, not yet.
There's a gentleman on there. He lives over in College Station, and he has developed a portable, manually operated tire changing station that is very effective.
Yeah, something like that. And if I can just put it outside, then everybody's free to use it.
It's got a built-in bead breaker foot.
Yeah.
Pretty much one-stop does all kind of thing. You might give him a shout.
Okay, that would be a good idea.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I'm doing it now with all the kids that come here and train here. They put old gear up here.
Mm-hmm.
And I have different sizes of boots, and we just do a little bit of an exchange. So they don't have to buy new ones. They put up there their old ones.
That's
so the next
great for the kids. That's great for the kids.
They grow out of that stuff.
Oh, yeah. Every year, you know, like you say, the stuff is quite expensive to get fully rigged out like you should be safety-wise.
Yeah.
And then every year you outgrow the stuff.
I know. And if you can do a little bit of exchanging, it don't cost money to anybody. It don't cost money to me, not to the parents. You can help everybody.
That's what this sport needs more of.
Oh,
so
yeah,
that it lowers the bar so everybody can get involved.
I know, and it's getting so expensive at the moment, and it's almost ridiculous. Like, I do a lot of suspension work. If you see what a suspension set costs, ridiculous.
I mean, the bikes have gotten so incredibly capable, but the downside is they're so incredibly expensive, too.
Yeah, and not a lot of people can work on it.
Right,
and
yeah.
So it's going to be expensive, no matter how you look at it.
No question.
To me, that's a little bit of a sore. I like to help people. The kids that are here riding during the week, and I'm trying to go with them to the races and help them out there.
Now, you actually offer a little bit of training tips as well, because you've had some pro motocross background.
Yeah, and I know a couple of guys.
You've been mechanic for a number of pro riders.
Yeah, for a number of pro riders. And like when I was over in Europe, I rode myself, and then I started my own little deal in the German Supercross Series, and I had most American guys up there. Like Matt Gerke was with me for like 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Carl Regal, Josh Hansen, Carl Partridge, Teddy Meyer. Yeah, all those guys.
Lots of names. Yeah.
It's nice to see them out here. And I'm going to invite them over this year to just come out here and hang out with me for a weekend. And,
good deal. Yeah. Good deal. Get a little European flair on the track.
Yeah, and I would love to get in touch with people like Andrew Short, you know, local pro guys. That would help the kids a lot. That will bring a lot of kids back into the sport.
Well, anything we can do to get the young riders back out here is a good thing.
Yeah, I know. And that's what I'm really focused on. I don't know if we're going to have to do an outdoor national, I'm going to have to make the main track longer So the kids' track will disappear over there, but yeah, I'm going to build a new one for the kids then. I mean, that's not a problem at all. The kids Good. Need to ride.
I know Danny out at Rio Bravo just got done revamping his kids' track. Yeah. And it's much more reminiscent of the same features you would find on the main track now. They're just in smaller scale.
Yeah, and that's...
So, you know, when the kids do graduate to the main track, they're not running into a bunch of features that they've not ridden before.
I know, and that's why I do on the Thursday evenings. We do almost 20, 25-minute sessions. So I can have 3 sessions done in almost an hour. So everybody has the same amount of seat time.
Mm-hmm.
And we do the kids also. I mean, they go over the night track. They go over the rollers. They go over the big jumps.
And there you go.
They love it. I mean, especially when the lights go on, they can stay up longer. Mom and dad don't complain. It's fun for them also to get into that and see the big guys and ride with the big guys.
Yeah, and that's important because, you know, you've got to study how somebody else does it if you want to get better quick.
Yeah, they all have that nice iPad in their hand with the YouTube video, so I think they do that during the week a lot.
Yeah.
But it's nice to see more kids getting involved.
It sure is.
And the kids I'm working with here during the week, like Wesley Smith, really an upcoming talent. I mean, it's a long time ago I saw that much talent in a kid. And he had some pretty hard injuries already. He broke his back, he broke his femur.
Mm.
And then come back like this, that's hard.
Yes, indeed. Well, let's hope he stays healthy because it sounds like he's got a bucket load of talent.
Yeah, he got. We're trying to qualify now for Loretta's this year.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to go to the races like that with the cycle wrench canopy, with the cycle wrench graphics on the bikes. And
yeah, team of kids.
Yeah, I love
you
it.
Bet.
Yeah, I love that. And like Mike Pace, really a talented rider. And yeah, he's training here 3 days a week with me. It's incredible how you see how those kids improve in such a short time. That's amazing. He went to the James Stewart race, and from the 80 riders, he just got into every main event.
Wow.
So that was a pretty good deal.
Yes, sir. Well, I'm definitely going to bring my bike next time. I could use a few tips myself.
Come on a Thursday evening. It's fun. It really is. If you see all those people coming up and the lights go on, that's my evening of the week.
Fun time.
Yeah, that makes it all worthwhile.
Well, I appreciate you taking a minute and visiting with me. I know you've got an awful lot of work to do here.
Yeah.
As you sit here all by yourself in this lonely track. Thanks again for all that you do, and we wish you all the best in getting this place back up and running again. We're all excited to see it.
It will work out. It will take some time, but I know it will work out. I'm really confident in this. If everybody keeps coming out, then we can keep opening, because it needs a certain kind of money to get it done every weekend. So you need a certain amount of riders to show up.
Yeah, you've got to hit critical mass to be able to justify doing that kind of expense on the prep.
Yeah, I know. And you can ask every other track owner in the area. It's a lot of work to get the place going, and you cannot satisfy everybody, but we try. All the tracks try. No matter what track you go to in Texas. And we even have another track here in San Antonio area. It's the White Knuckle Ranch.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a big track, but the owner is so much involved in helping people out. And we need more guys like that.
Yes, we do.
That makes a big difference. So we're all here for the same thing. And that's like have fun on a dirt bike. Yeah, I hope people come out.
Well, I'm sure they will.
Yeah, I hope so. I mean, like I said, every Thursday evening we have a lot of riders. We try to do as much live feeds on the Facebook page from Cycle Ranch.
So if somebody wants to go to Facebook or find you on the web, where would they do?
They go to the Cycle Ranch MX Facebook site. We're working on the website. It's not been active for a while, so we're working on that now to get it back up. I post updates several times a week from whatever I'm doing here, if it's the night track, the main track. We make sure that everybody knows. And Thursday evening is 6 till 10. Can be sometimes 10:30 or 11. That depends on how much fun the people have. We do that every Thursday.
Well, there you heard it. Cycle Ranch is good to go. Come on down.
Yeah. I hope everybody comes down because it's a lot of fun. It really is.
Well, we look forward to riding the main track very shortly.
Yeah, okay. That's going to take me a little while. It's a pretty bad shape, but I'm working on it. And it's going to at least take a couple of weeks to get that place ready because, like I said, we need to put at least 3 foot of dirt over the whole track and reface all the jumps. So it's going to be a lot of time and a a lot of money also.
But it will be in superb condition when you're done.
Yeah, and we're going to do it in the beginning, the ride weekends again. The pre-sign-up I do over the internet helps me a lot to invest that money into the track. And
yeah, you have to know that people are going to show if you're going to do that.
Yeah, if you're going to prep for like $2,000-$2,500 on diesel fuel, then you cannot lose money every weekend because then the gates will close again.
Yeah, I think we experienced that a couple of years ago.
You need revenue to get it going. And when it's going, it's like you can lose some weekends, but that's not a problem. But if it's every weekend, it won't take long.
yeah. Well, you know, the weather wasn't real cooperative a couple of springs ago either. I think every track in Texas was suffering. They just, every single race got postponed again and postponed again.
Yeah, I know. I saw that. Yeah, I discovered it here, like every rain. And last night we had a big storm here. So everything is washed out and I have to wait for it a little bit to dry up. But that track still has to be ready tomorrow evening at 6 o'clock. So
here comes another all-nighter.
Yeah, another all-nighter and a couple of Red Bulls and something like that.
All right. Well, I will let you get to it. Thanks again for telling us where it's at. And we wish you all the best on getting this place back underway.
Okay. Thank you guys for coming out here.
You bet.
Welcome every weekend. So
just bring the bike next time, huh?
Yes, bring the bike next time so you actually can ride.
Got it.
The great outdoors, a set of wheels, and you, the three, are destined to dance. Outdoors with Wheels continues on KPRC 950.
Finding out what's wrong with your vehicle is simple and convenient at Beckwith's Car Care. Their ASC-certified technicians and professionally trained advisors will help you understand your vehicle and keep it safe and dependable. For everything from oil changes to a new engine, from tire rotations to a check engine light, visit Beckwith's Car Care. Call 281-446-4000. They're on FM 1960, just east of Highway 59. 281-446-4000. Proud sponsor and co-host of the Auto Mojo Show on AM 950 KPRC.
Calling all outdoor enthusiasts. Springtime is here. Time to get outside.
It doesn't matter whether you ride, hike, bike, jeep, climb, or just four-wheel the forest trails with your family in a side-by-side. The Wilderness Rider, Buffalo Ranch, and Adventure Park has it all.
Don't spend your next vacation staying in a tightly clustered tent neighborhood where campsites are in a neat little row barely 20 feet apart.
If you've had enough of being surrounded by strangers at campgrounds that are overcrowded, overwhelmed, and overregulated with countless rules and stipulations, come to the Wilderness Rider Ranch and experience the many natural wonders and enchanting solitude of a pristine Ozark hardwood forest.
Camp beside serene waterfalls and listen to nature's features instead of babies that bawl and other offensive human creatures. Make your plans now to visit the Wilderness Rider Ranch, where you can spend hassle-free days in the forest, blissfully riding or hiking the many miles of scenic cliff ledges and boulder-laced stream beds.
To plan your next vacation, go to wildernessrider.com or call 530-377-6678. That's 530-377-6678.
Turpentine Creek Wildlife Refuge is a sanctuary in the Ozarks for abused and mistreated lions, tigers, and bears. Located just 7 miles south of Eureka Springs on Highway 23, it's a great way to spend the day and help support the refuge. You can also spend the night in one of the cozy Zulu Safari Lodges or bring your RV and camp under the stars. Go to turpentinecreek.org for more info. Turpentine Creek Wildlife Refuge is a slice of Africa and the Ozarks.
Turpentine Creek Wildlife Refuge, where big cats call home.
We are screaming through the valley where the Nishnabotna flows, through the mud and crud and cornfields where the marijuana grows, across the railroad tracks of Persia, down the hills and up the dale. That's CJ5 with a four-wheel drive, Smokey on my tail.
Two wheels or four, it doesn't matter. It's all about enjoying the outdoors. Get your tires dirty with Lynn and Donnie as Outdoors with Wheels continues on KPRC 950.
We are visiting with Bob Whitby, and Bob is one of the organizers of the Slap Ride, Squeal Like a Pig. And I'd love to learn a little bit about your history in riding. When did you start riding? How old were you?
19, when I got my first bike, which I guess is kind of late. But my parents absolutely refused to let me have a motorcycle.
I was one of those kids. I had to lobby long and hard.
It didn't work with my parents. So as soon as I turned 18 and I got a job and I saved up $2,000, I went out and bought a Kawasaki KZ750 street bike, which was way too big for someone who'd never ridden a motorcycle. And I rode street bikes for years and years and years, and then had a family and quit riding. Then I got back into dual sport riding and adventure riding. I want to say it was around 2004. And I said to myself, I have no idea why I didn't start this sooner, because it is so much more fun than riding a street bike. I enjoy it so much more. And there's always something to learn. I don't know why I didn't start it. It's been the best thing I've done.
My story is fairly similar, except that for me, one of the things that was missing was the camaraderie and the ability to reach out and visit with other people who were into that. It seems like the older I got, the less people I knew that were into riding anymore. And somehow riding by myself just wasn't quite thrilling enough. So when I found the ADV forum and the Two Wheel Texan forum, and suddenly I was able to plug into just a whole community of like-minded riders that still love to ride, still love to get out in the boonies, tear it up, and actually got out there and did it, didn't just talk about it. That was really the magic for me. I don't think I'd be a rider now if I wouldn't have discovered the forums and the community of other like-minded riders.
Yeah, that's true. As soon as I got started back in this, I made friends. I've been to Baja 3 times. I've been to mainland Mexico. I've been all over Colorado. I've been to Wisconsin. I've been all over Florida. And these are trips I've taken with people who are now considered lifelong friends who I never knew before I started riding. And that's, like you said, Donnie, it gets harder and harder, it seems, to make friends when you get older. And it's just like, this has been such a good experience in terms of finding people who are interested in getting out and doing things and just being outside.
Yeah, plugging into the brotherhood of outdoor adventurists.
So when is the Slap Ride, Bob?
May 19th through the 21st.
And if I'm a new rider who's never been to the Slap Ride, or maybe this would be the first of this type ride I've ever done, what would I need to show up with?
Well, first you need to register, and our registration is through advrider.com. That's advrider.com. And if you look on the rallies thread, you will find us. We're under Slap Rally. If you show up with a motorcycle of any kind, even a street bike, that'd be fine. You'll find people to run the street with, and a tent and a good attitude. I think you're going to have a good time.
And they really don't need to worry about bringing meals and concession type stuff. That can all be found on site.
Oh, that's a good question. We feed people. Part of the rally entry fee is 3 meals. So you get 3 meals, you get your tent, you get your camping paid for. We have sponsors who are really kicking in and being very generous. We have some sponsors like Climb, who does great, great dual sport gear. We have Freedom Power Sports, who is a multi-line dealer here in Fayetteville, including KTM and Yamaha and Kawasaki and Suzuki. We have Heartland Honda. Honda dealership, obviously. They give us some great stuff to give away. And we have ADV Monster, who does lighting for ADV or dual sport bikes. One of the big things that we try to do is have a big raffle giveaway on Saturday night. So your entry fee gets you a ticket into the raffle. We give away prizes, basically. Still working on getting some more. It's really good stuff. We try and give away anything that would be of interest to people who ride dual sport motorcycles or adventure bikes, or even dirt bikes. In the past, we've had great, great prizes like helmets, tires, gloves, like I said, gift certificates. So that's part of your entry fee too. So you pay $55, $75 if you want a t-shirt, and you get 2 nights of camping, 3 meals, entry to the raffle. We have beer on site. It's a very good value, I think, and also get to hang out with some really cool people.
Will any of these vendors have an on-site presence?
Not this year. We're working on that for next year.
Sure be nice to see the guys with the custom lighting set up shop and maybe do some installations while they're there.
That'd be really cool. My dream is to get demo rides from KTM or BMW or whoever wants to come. I think we're a little small for that yet, but
I don't know. A demo day, they can only handle so many people. It might be the perfect opportunity for them. And you can just go ahead and put my name on one of those new really lightweight climb helmets.
Well, one thing they know for sure if they come demo day at Slap Ride is they are talking to actual users, not just tire kickers.
Yeah, and that's how I've gotten all the sponsors, is the fact that these people are coming to Arkansas. They know Arkansas is great for riding, and they are riders. They want to come here and enjoy what we have, and they want to see the products, you know, and they get excited about it. I want a pair of gloves here back when I first came, a pair of great gloves that BMW had donated, and I still use them to this day. They're the best gloves I've ever owned.
Well, there's nothing cooler than doing a great ride and coming home with some great swag afterwards.
Yeah, for sure.
So do you have an idea on average how many miles most people ride during the Slap Ride every day?
I would say that it depends on what you want to do. Again, you could ride 200 miles on street if you wanted to, and there's some great twisties. And I just got a comment from a guy on our thread, which is, again, Slap Rallies. It's under Rallies. It's Slap on advrider.com. And he said they had a group of KLRs and other dual sports who took 9.5 hours to go 21 miles. So they had a very interesting ride. You know, they went out to see 60-foot falls, which is a local, very cool attraction. Action out here, but the road out there can be a little tough. So yeah, they took some time.
Well, there's certainly been a lot of rain up here this year, so I'm guessing the rivers will be flowing, although we still have a little bit of time for them to calm down before the slap.
So if you haven't already done so, you definitely need to put the Slap Ride on your calendar. It's May 19th through the 21st.
Now, that sounds like a long time from now, but there's a lot that goes into organizing a ride of this size, and it means you need to get online and register if you really want to take advantage of all of the goodies.
Early registration ends on April 30th, and registration closes on May 12th, so you better get it together and get registered.
Well, I cannot imagine where else you could go and spend an entire weekend for $55. That is a great deal.
Yeah, and with all the riding action you get for that kind of money, it is unrivaled.
You don't even have to bring a bike. You can just go sit at the campsite and have a blast with everybody for $55.
You'll get $55 worth of bench racing. Well, we want to thank all the sponsors that threw in for this year's ride, and we want to thank Bird's Adventure Center for hosting it. We'll have links on the Outdoors with Wheels site to the Slap Ride.
Are you going to finally make it this year, Donnie?
I hope so. This thing's been on my radar for about 4 years, and somehow I've missed it every single year. And this year, I really hope I'm going to be there.
Well, you have all heard us talk enough about the difference in Donnie's and my riding ability. And so keep in mind that this is indeed a ride for everyone. It's something that I'll feel just as comfortable going to as Donnie does. There'll be a group of Urals sitting and waiting for me, I hope.
And in fact, if you go to Birds and you don't ride, there's plenty of things you can do. You can kayak the river. You can just hang out and camp. You can go on hikes. It's a great venue if you want to bring your family and they don't ride. That's one of the advantages of being at Birds.
Yeah, you're still in the Ozark Mountains, and the Mulberry River is a fantastic canoe and kayak river.
I like the bridge over the Mulberry River. That is a cool little bridge. If you're a photographer, it's worth a drive just to take a picture of that funny little bridge.
Well, Bob, we wish you all the success in getting this ride off and going again this year, and I look forward to being part of it.
Well, I'm sure glad you guys could come by and let me babble on about it, because I think it's going to be a lot of fun. It always has been in the past, and we hope it will be in the future.
Am I allowed to play pig squeaking noises now?
Okay, go ahead. Okay, now that you've driven us all hog wild. Well, I don't know if this will make you happy enough to squeal like a pig, but it should make you pretty happy.
You are right, Donnie. Motorcyclists all over the United States now have official representation in the U.S. Senate.
Hoorah, it's about time we had an official voice in politics.
Two U.S. Senators, Joni Ernst and Gary Peters, are co-chairing a motorcycle caucus in the U.S. Senate.
This not only bridges the aisle in regards to political affiliation, but it also bridges the gender gap as well. So all riders of all flavors are represented.
It is indeed a bipartisan caucus, which after some of the politics we've seen in Washington in the last couple years, that should be much more effective. Senator Joni Ernst is a Republican from Iowa.
And a lifelong rider.
And Senator Gary Peters is a Democrat from Michigan.
And also a lifelong rider.
The purpose of this caucus is to advocate for all motorcycle riders and for the manufacturers. And the manufacturers have been needing a little bit of help too.
Well, this will be great. We constantly face threats to our motorcycling freedom and to the industry as well. It would be nice to have someone on the inside really watching out for our interest all of the time.
Well, another national effort that is encouraging motorcyclists
motorcycling in general is the American Motorcycle Association's Go Ride Month. There are all sorts of activities planned to encourage riding, as well as a lot of support from the aftermarket. Cycle Gear is running the AMA Grand Tour in conjunction with Go Ride Month. There's a lot of gear to be given away, and participants can sign up right now at cg-goride.com, or you can sign up through the Rever app. There are three categories for street, V-twin, and off-road, so start logging your miles right away.
Well, speaking of logging miles, it's about time we logged off this show and got back to putting miles on the bikes, huh?
Grab a handful of this beautiful spring weather, whether you're in Texas, whether you want to take a road trip somewhere. It is time to get out and ride. Happy riding, everybody.
Happy wheeling.
Outdoors with Wheels has Lynn and Donnie bring you another informative and entertaining show. Thank you for listening. Now, head into the great outdoors. Get those tires dirty and get your mind right. Wow.